Good evening and welcome. It's KVC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Tonight we have Emmanuel Rogers in conversation with Kate T. Parker, author of A Strong Is the New Pretty, a celebration of girls being themselves. She's expanded now on that one with Strong Is the New Pretty, a guided journal for girls. First, though, you may have heard a portion of this interview on a very recent Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez. Now the full conversation. Lillian spoke quite recently with designer and builder Scott Harris, COO and co-founder of the Building Construction Group. And she went out of the gate with this. It's a good question.
Hey, so first thing I want to know, do you make house calls?
I do. Do you need one?
Yes, you have no idea. We'll get to that later. Scott,
all right.
Your background is pretty colorful. Will you share how you became part of creating homes and lifestyles for clients? And it looks like your passion started at a pretty early age.
Yeah, it did. I grew up with a childhood that maybe wasn't the greatest. I know not all of us had great ones, but I just had this feeling in my home that if somehow I could make a home a better place for my family, meaning my mom and dad and my sisters at the time, that they would be happier in life. And so I stayed on that journey. I haven't gotten off of it, and now I do it professionally. You know, it turns out you can actually do something therapeutic and you can make money at it and people are happy about it. So that's what I've been doing for, well over 30 years. I kind of lost count.
Tell me about early on. I think I read that you were like 5 and you had this, I don't know, take it from when you were a little kid that took you on this journey.
Okay, so I'm going to get on the couch with you, right? Well, the first thing I did when I was 5 years old is I started drawing up little diagrams of furniture for my room, and then I didn't like the casing around the room, which the casing is a little wood that goes around your windows and your doors.
Yes.
And I just didn't like it. You know, it had like paint strips on it and just looked old. You know, we grew up in a mid-century home, and, you know, I'm not mid-century, so I'm like, God, I can make something better. So I go to the garage, I take it off, I started trying to find some other sticks of wood and got out my dad's, you know, Sears and Roebuck cast iron jigsaw, must have weighed 30 pounds, to cut a finger off with this thing, and you're cutting. Mom and dad don't know what you're doing, and you're getting, there's a rusty nail, there's a hammer, here we go, start popping it up. I couldn't say it looked better, but I tried. They weren't very excited for what I did in the house, but that's what I did, and I was like, but you know, at 5, what do you expect? I didn't even go to school yet, so then, you know, by the time I was 6 and 7 and 8, I was building my own furniture, and just kept doing that.
It's amazing that you thought you could at 5, 6, or 7, and that you even thought about those kinds of things. I mean, what typical kid is looking at the window and thinking, I can build a better frame for that than what's currently on there?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that I wasn't atypical. I just was looking at something, and it's interesting. Like, I always look at things, and people think sometimes, God, he's kind of negative. But I look at things, and I find fault or flaw. And then I wouldn't say it's a fault or a flaw, but I find something characteristically in it that I don't think is beautiful. And so I look to figure out how to make it more beautiful. And that's what just drives me. So that's what I did. I didn't know it wasn't normal until people told me it wasn't. So that's...
Did you study architect or building like in college, or was it just self-taught and what you really enjoy looking at and how you want it to be better?
I actually was in a special program where I think they said I was in a little elevated. I finished all my schoolwork early, and teachers got together and said, we have a special program for you. Guess what? You don't have to be here anymore. You can go full time. So I was able to graduate early out of high school. Mm-hmm. I started at 15 and a half practicing architecture and being trained in that. By the time I was 18, I was already starting up new offices. I was training people out of SciArt, USC, the major design universities.
Wow.
And I thought, gosh, how much did you pay for college? You paid $30,000 a year, and you make half of what I make, and I'm already doing a better job than you. So, So I practiced that for a while. I thought, God, maybe it's time to learn something new. So I did go. I actually studied business administration and accounting for while I was doing it. But the idea of architecture and construction and design and anything just came so naturally to me. And the thing that I wasn't a fan of is that the people that I was training out of college, they were making things that weren't not even realistic. You know, they're like, look at this big bridge I made. Okay, where's the other end of the bridge? Well, that's the idea. It doesn't have another end. It's stupendously creative. It's stupendously stupid. It doesn't work. You know, you're not going to be able to make money and sell that to a client. Like, if you don't understand the foundations and fundamentals of what makes something stand up. And so I decided to take a different career path. And I know it's not for everybody, but I'm one of those people who wanted to take my own journey and learn on my own, do trial and error. Figured I started a little bit early, so I haven't stopped on that journey.
Right. Sounds like you made the right choice for you. Your work is only designed for the rich and famous?
Oh, no. You can be... Well, you know what? If I do work for you, I'll make you rich and famous.
Oh, good. That would be wonderful.
No, it has nothing to do with being rich. It has nothing to do with being famous. It has to do with having an understanding of what it is that makes your life more beautiful, more luxurious. You don't have to spend a lot of money doing it. You know, it's the simple things in life that make your life more beautiful. So, you know, I don't care who you are or what you do. You know, we're equal opportunity creators. So, but it's interesting that it does seem to attract the people that are more rich and more famous because they, for whatever reason, seem to be attracted to having something more luxurious. And look, they have more money so they can build more. And if you're running a business, you know, you can't make a great business out of putting the most perfect bathtub in for somebody. So you got to seek out the bigger projects.
So one of your projects that I think I read was one of your clients was Gordon Ramsay. Tell me about that.
I was working for a firm and we did Gordon Ramsay restaurant for him in the Savoy Hotel in London. It was some years ago. I'd never designed a restaurant in my life. Had no idea. Didn't know what I was doing. And we ended up doing AOC restaurant and Los Angeles, $200,000 for some famous chefs. And I kind of cheated because I didn't know how to design a restaurant. So you know what I did? I actually designed everything to fit me. I'm like, well, let's see. I think the chair, that seems like my ass is right there. It's about, yeah, it's comfortable. I want about this much space between the table. Well, the table should be right about there. I figured, hey, I'm kind of average-ish, you know. And worst case, if it doesn't work out, I have the perfect restaurant that fits me. The menu size is perfect, you know. The cut, everything, even the lampshades, got it all figured out. Turned out it was like became the number one restaurant in Los Angeles for about 10 years straight. From there, we started getting all of these requests to do more restaurants. So we got the big ones, you know, like Gordon Ramsay and Michael Mina. And so just kind of branched out there. It just became naturally did it. And what's great about doing restaurants is the food's so good. You get the go and sample the restaurants, you know, you get to stay in their great hotels. So love doing that. It was so much fun.
It seems like your gut instincts seem to be working. Let me reintroduce you. My guest is designer and builder Scott Harris. You know, with your talent and skills, you really cover a lot of building community, including residential and commercial, working to improve the quality of life mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Can you break those down of how you approach each one, like mentally, emotionally, and spiritually?
Well, let's see, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, they're all kind of connected, but they're different, right? And a lot of times I tell people I'm charging them, the construction is free, I'm just going to be your therapist to bring you mentally, spiritually, and emotionally through this whole process. You know, I think mentally is kind of part of the spirituality and the emotional part of it. It's maybe more of a collective term, but, you know, when you're in a home that gives you a sense of peace, when you're in a home that heals you, when you're in a place that you can just go home at the end of the day and hang your hat up, if you have one, and just say, oh, I feel better. And that's what I try to do. That's what my team tries to do. So it's very deep. You know, the home is that one place that you can go to, and it should be the one place that you go to heal. And unfortunately, a lot of times homes are not even a place you can heal. They're designed to be more of something that looks spectacular for your friends. Like, aha, look at that. What do you think of this? And you're not healing in the home. So a home needs to be tailored and suited to each person. And each person is so individual. So it's not a design sensibility that needs to be applied overall. It's not that you build something here and it works, let's do it over there. You have to really connect with that person. You know, there's somebody that'll tell us that they had some trauma, so they don't like certain kind of light fixtures. All right, let's design an alternate one for you. You know, some people say, when I was a kid, never enough light in the house. great, let's flood this house with lights. Let's make sure it's the right one. So you really, it's about listening to what somebody wanted to do their whole life, the things that hurt them, the things that they like. You know, it's like a planning a wedding. They've been thinking about it their whole life. So it's really about creating that, but then you have to guide them, because a lot of times moms, dads, and friends get involved, and they take pictures out of the, off of the magazine and something out of the internet that they saw. And you got to kind of tailor a home so when it's done, they walk in there and they have a sense of relief and they go, oh, wow, you did it. This is it. And it's like, should fit like a glove. You know, it should fit like an Armani suit, and just, and they should be able to run it and enjoy it. So it's a very emotional thing. And it's actually for clients, though, it is very emotional because through the process, mostly because they believe that they, everyone believes that they deserve usually more than they can afford.
Right.
Find that interesting.
Right. Right.
So, you know, no, I deserve waterworks fixtures. I'm sure you do. That you gave me this much to spend. I know, but come on, I want those. That's what I deserve.
So is there a difference between, like, I think of beauty, but beauty also has to be functional. So you can look at one, sometimes you look at these do-it-yourself shows and the houses are beautiful. And then when the person moves into them, they have to put like real things in there. When they stage it and it looks gorgeous, you think, ah, but how do you live that? Where is the toilet paper? Or where is the, you know, deodorants and all the different things that everybody has to use or might use? There's a difference, right, between functional and beauty, or is there?
Yeah, I mean, beauty is functional, and functionality can be beautiful. But one thing that's maybe a good point to your listeners to know is you need to hire an entire team that actually looks at all of that. Because if you just hire an architect, and an architect shows you this great floor plan and these big soaring ceilings and big room, oh, that's cool, that's great. Then you kind of furnish it, like you said. Oh, God, there's nowhere to put the bed and the TV across from the bed. This isn't good. The sun's in my eyes over there. This is not working. So what's so important and what we do is on our projects, our rest of our team is my partner's an architect, and then we have an interior design firm. We look at it holistically when we're doing it. So the homes that are created before they're built have everything figured out, from down to the location of every furniture piece,
wow,
the types of pillows that you're going to use, the lighting, the drop on the lighting. You know, how high is my head going to be and what kind of pillow do I have? So when I have the TV, you know, at this level, does it work?
Wow.
And does that line up with the adjacent window? And where's the sunlight coming in the morning? And can I block it? And, you know, all of those things, those are so important. And often they get missed because clients like, I don't need that. I'm just going to hire an architect. Or my designer said, he's great. You know, and then the building kind of leans one way. So what's one of my gripes about the industry is that they separated something that should be holistic. You know, they have architecture, you have an interior design, you have the builder, you have an engineer, and I understand why they're all separate trades, but really, they're all synergistic, and they should be. You know, it's like, for example, if you equate this to food, you know, it's like, I have somebody who wrote a recipe. Well, now I have it, and then I give it to somebody, here, you cook it.
Mm.
You know, it's,
yeah.
And then you have somebody, here, you eat it, you know. The best thing is, like, the person who's actually cooking his writes his recipe, cooks, you know, and eats it. And like, I got exactly what I want.
Right.
So
yeah.
When you split it up between three trades, which is not a bad idea, you got to make sure that they work together, because they kind of work against each other a little bit. Like, I want this. It's expensive. That doesn't fit. It's too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But such an important key thing that we see left out in a lot of projects, because you got to find out, what does that person want? What's really good for the person? And, you know, a lot of times we find that the client, it becomes their worst enemy. So you kind of, you have to guide them too and educate them on how to do it and look at it holistically and create that kind of experience. So they're like, he did it. Like, the best thing is the cry, the tears. Like, almost every client at the end of the project just starts to cry. This is so beautiful. It's the best thing ever get done. You know, so you know you hit it, and you start another and you start another. And that's my journey in life.
That's Lillian Vasquez in conversation with designer and builder Scott Harris, COO and co-founder of the Building Construction Group. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 FM, streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Many past shows can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Spotify, and Google Play. Most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Also, you can now tell your smart speaker to play KVCR. Later in the program, we'll hear from Kate T. Parker, author of Strong as the New Pretty, a celebration of girls being themselves, and the recent follow-up, Strong as the New Pretty, a guided journal for girls. First, though, back to KVCR's Lillian Vasquez, speaking with Scott Harris, COO and co-founder of the Building Construction Group.
What recommendations can you make or share in the trends in building, either from the ground up or home improvements or remodeling?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't even have the money that my clients have. I can't even afford to hire myself anymore. but, you know, so as far as ground up, one of the things that are becoming very, I would say even beyond popular, the big requirement is to do things at an economical and environmentally efficient way.
Okay.
So solar power is really becoming something that we're doing a lot of for our homes now. We're doing things like, depending where you are, we're doing rainwater tanks. So we're able to catch all the water from the roofs and all of the hardscape. It rolls into this big tank that's underground. And then you can irrigate your yard, you know, all summer long and pick up the rain.
Oh.
But there's simpler things like if you don't, you know, if you're remodeling or don't have a lot to do, everyone talks about dual glazed windows. But there's simple things you can do just about, like, air quality to me is a big one. Not everybody can afford it, but one of the nicer things to do is an auxiliary air filtration system that you can do, you can add on. It could be $1,000 or $2,000. I mean, don't underestimate the value in actually living in clean air in your home.
That's
if you can't afford that, you can put a HEPA quality filter in your and take out that cheap one that the AC contractor put in there for you. And the other thing that's like doesn't really cost a lot, but it may be a little pain in the mind, is to get rid of the clutter. So many homes are so over cluttered. And when you walk in a home, and if you're supposed to be that place that you can heal and be safe, you walk in there and your eyes are jazzed. You know, and you're anxious. And so the good tip for your listeners is when you're walking into a room, make sure there's one focal point in the room. Should be one thing that you just look at and you know what to look at. Let that be the special thing. Maybe it's this really simple white bedroom and everything's clean and there's white pictures and white roses.
Oh, I love it.
But you've got this really cool, like, red Murano fixture in the middle that's just like, wow, that's cool. I just sit here, relax. I know what to look at. You know, but you don't want a Murano fixture and then some blue picture on the wall. Like, you know, you don't need to do a threesome or whatever it is when you're looking in your house. It just needs to have some level of simplicity. So getting the items out, creating less clutter, and then just having one focal point in a room. It can be a piece of furniture. It can be the view. The view can be the focal point.
Hmm.
You just have a simple backdrop. And then it's just about, I look out the window and I see the view. I see this beautiful yard. That's my focal point. So those are easy things you can do that are kind of simple that don't cost a lot of money. Like, you could do it. I can come over and make a house call today. We can do that for you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll get on that right away. I want to just stop you about the clutter, because I keep too much, but my husband is a hoarder and won't let things go. And I keep packing things up because I want less things in the house because it just looks so clean and I can relax when it looks simple,
right?
And he has all this, I'm going to call it crap, and won't let it go. And so he keeps packing up and putting it outside and putting it. Okay, if it's outside for 3 years and you haven't looked at it, it's time to let it go. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't used something in the past 6 months, maybe you're not going to use it. And same with your clothes. Like, if you haven't worn that, you know.
Okay, don't go there because I'm saving my clothes forever. So we're not even going there. Nice try.
But you're a hoarder too. You got to accept it.
Only in the clothes closet and shoes.
Okay. All right. Well, it's time to come out of the closet. Stop being a hoarder. but yeah, I mean, I have similar issues, you know, even with my family and, you know, other people. And so, one of the good things to do is you need to see things in a different environment. you know, it's like, oh, I always need that can. You never know, that can.
Right.
You know, that's the greatest box ever. What if I need to send something to grandma?
Mm-hmm.
Well, take it, you know, what's a nice thing to do every so often? Just a full spring cleaning. Take everything out of the room. Put it in a different space. And somehow you kind of lose that sentimental attachment to a degree. I don't know how deep your husband's rooted in these things, but It's the first level of detachment. It's like, put it out. You know, I'll do that. I'll take all the stuff. We'll put it on the yard. Just lay it out. And like, did you really need the band's box? Really? They start being able to detach from it a little bit. And then as you start putting it back, you know, one by one, even if they haven't detached, the room starts to look really spectacular because you can put it all back.
Yeah.
And they're like, and you go, hey, honey, what do you think? Well, the room looks great now. I know, right?
And then he puts it in the garage. I'll take that under advisement. Let me ask you a couple more questions.
Okay.
What is the one thing do-it-yourselfers, home builders always go too heavy on or too light on or spend too much money on and not enough money? Is there certain topics like, you know, you talked about windows, that people maybe don't invest enough in windows or they go too heavy on. Is there anything that rises to the top of, you know, when do-it-yourselfers are doing it, they always go too heavy on something or too light on something?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a big thing is color and the paints that people use.
Mm.
That's to me is like a pet peeve. And I see most do-it-yourselfers are so heavy-handed when it comes to the color, or they're too underhanded and too light. You know, that's a really nice all-white house you have inside. It looks very sterile, beautiful.
That's my new house. It's all white and gray.
right. And then you go in and you're like, wow, that is the pinkest bedroom I've ever seen. Oh, and you have a lavender and a blue, greens, fantastic. I love all these colors. And you're just like, oh my God, somebody get this person some help. So I'll give a quick tip on how to pick colors that I've used is most of the colors that you get from your local, you know, home improvement stores,
They
don't use all of the pigments that you would otherwise use in a more expensive paint. And so you get these paints that are more saturated, and they look really great on that little square. They look fun, and they don't have the depth. So you want to just go to a little more expensive paint company, not just your local home improvement store. And then you want to get the paint chips, and then here's something you do. Have you ever walked outside and saw some pink or green or blue flowers and said, God, those don't match. What was God thinking when he put those out here? He messed up. You know, we don't. Everything in nature fits. I don't care how many colors you throw together. It just works, right?
Hmm.
So there's something that nature figured out that we didn't figure out in paint. And so there is a level of neutrality that goes through the colors out there. There's a kind of a neutral palette. Even though it's got brightness to it, it's still neutral. So what you can do, take your colors that you like think are amazing and stick them outside in with your garden and see if it just feels like a flower or a plant that just meshes, or does it stand out? If that color that you picked stands out and doesn't just feel like it blends, probably going to feel like it's going to stick out like a sore thumb in your house.
Makes sense.
So you can get a little more bold. You can try some fun colors, but try them outside. Try them during different times, and then get a bigger one. You know, get like a board and paint it and walk around. But it's just, and color, by the way, has a huge impact on your psyche. So you can't underestimate, it's not just about the color. The color has an amazing impact. You know, we did a restaurant. If you notice, most restaurants, they have red and green in their logos. And then they do yellow, like Carl's Jr., McDonald's. You know, there's a reason that they're all red, greens, and yellows.
Mm-hmm.
It actually makes you hungry. It creates an appetite. It also kind of speeds you up so you get out of the place faster, too.
Hmm.
So, you know, and also like blues. Don't do blues for restaurant. We did one restaurant with blue, and he said, this is the most amazing Robin's Egg blue and silver I've ever seen. The turnover rate is 2.5 hours. No one will leave.
This is
the most beautiful restaurant anyone's ever seen, and they're sitting here for 2.5 hours, and I got a line out the door and a lot of angry people. What do I do? Oh, I guess we're going to throw some reds back in here. Shoot, didn't work.
Who knew that colors were controlling my eating habits? I had no idea.
Oh, they have a huge impact on you. I mean, colors, you know, I'm going to ask, this is kind of a wide question, but do you know the difference between color and sound?
One you see, one you hear?
I'll jump to it. Yes, but it's a frequency.
Oh.
The only difference between color and sound is that there are different frequency levels. So the eyes are essentially a receiver that pick up a frequency range and say, that's this color. The ears are a receiver that pick up this frequency range at a lower range and say, I hear this sound. And your brain's just basically, you know, transmitting this information to tell you to how to read it. But it's a frequency. So if you think of that and you realize that it's that there is really no difference except for on the frequency range. And light as well, you go up to the next level, it's another frequency. They're all frequencies. So once you realize that and you understand that color now is akin to sound, you know, imagine if you've got some really horrible notes playing in your house all day, you know, you'd be really depressed.
Right.
So it's the same, just different transmissions. So we underestimate that color is the frequency like a sound, and it has a significant impact. You know, if you're hearing a bunch of dissonant notes, it's not good. You want a chord of three, you know, it's just, you want to play the C chord through your house. Nice, beautiful walls, get, you know, and some good colors to do are, that are kind of neutral. Everyone's doing the grays, but you got to be careful not to do too much blue in your gray. So we call them, you do a little more of a softer gray, warmer tones. And you want to keep the reds out of your house as much as possible. Keep the reds out and keep the yellow out, out of the house.
This is the first time in some of my interviews where my sound engineer is nodding his head and he's paying so much attention to your sound.
Oh, good.
So he's nodding his head. I have two more questions. Do pools add more value or just add fun to a home?
So it depends where you live. But from most real estate's perspective, they will tell you that a pool does not necessarily add value on most homes. So if you have a home that's not a mansion, and a mansion is defined as something that has spaces other than just living and eating and sleeping, a pool in those smaller homes does not technically add value because 50% of the people want a pool and 50% don't want a pool. So while you're selling your home, somebody may say, well, that's great that it's got a pool, but I don't want to pay for the maintenance. You know, it's a dangerous thing. Kids can fall into it. And I can't tell you how many pools I've covered up and taken away.
Wow, really?
It's like, oh my God, we're really filling in a pool. You know, and then you have the other half, they're like, dig it out, I want a new pool. So it's a 50-50. Now, if you're doing a home that's like on the level that we're doing, like we're doing these, you know, thank God people have money to do this, so we do these 15,000, 18,000, 25,000 estates on multiple acres, it's expected to have a pool.
Okay.
So you hit some level where a home is expected to have a pool. And if you don't have one, then you definitely would lose value on the property.
All right. And because this is our Father's Day segment, I have to ask a question. What do men like versus what women want in a home improvement? I mean, do men have to have those man caves?
What do women want in a home?
Well, what's the difference? I mean, so let's talk about what men like versus what women want in a home. And that's kind of where I was talking about men
wanting
their
want a man in a
man
cave. Most women want a man in a home.
Well, but, I can't speak for all women.
Yeah, but no, I'm just trying to be funny. But, you know, what women ask for is it's their kitchens, it's the closet, it's the bedroom. You know, and they ask for very specific, like what I see that women like that have maybe a higher level of request is they like their closets to be really customized to the point that it feels like they're shopping. Mm. We did this closet for somebody recently, and she had like 50 pairs of sunglasses, you know, and I was at Disneyland and I saw one of these displays with all of them displayed professionally. And I thought, you know, why don't we do that for her? So we created this big bronze glass cabinet where it had all of her sunglasses displayed. And I think what women seem to like is they like everything. Everything needs to have a place. This isn't just a woman thing, but I'm just the request that we get.
Yes.
Usually the husbands are like, I don't care. Whatever she wants, I'm busy. I got to go to work. but what's really great, and it's great not just for women, but for everybody, is to have a place for everything. Because there's nothing worse if you're spending time at home to not, you're putting your towels away and there's not enough room for your towels. You know, you don't have somebody ever thought about where your appliances go. You know, I like the big mixer. I like to cook. And you do things like, you know, we'll put a little plug inside the cabinet. So we'll do something where you can put your appliance in the cabinet.
Oh, nice.
Keep it plugged in. Open the door. put it on top of the island. When you're done, put it back and never even unplug it. You know, things like, where do you put your, you know, where do you put your phone every day? You don't want to see a charger. So we put chargers inside the drawers. We're like, oh, I was just going to put it right here. Great. So you put a charger in the drawer for them so they can just plug it in and they never have to see them.
Okay, so you kind of shared what women want, and I agree with the kitchen, the closet, and the bedroom. What do men want?
Men want it cheaper, faster, and done well. And they want, and the men want their wives to be happy.
I love it because this describes my husband to the T. We are building our home right now, and cheaper, faster, and done well is all that he cares about. Ah,
yeah.
My gosh.
And I feel like every man always thinks like, you know, they're being taken advantage of. We don't, but, you know, they're like, you know, from a male's perspective, I think from what we see, because usually it's couples that we're building for, is they really want to make sure that they're not being taken advantage of. That's a big thing. Mm. They want to make sure that they're getting what they paid for, which we give them.
Right.
They want to make sure that they're, and a lot of them just release the responsibilities to their wives, because it's amazing how many men say we can't see color. It's surprising. Didn't realize
right,
it
yeah.
until I got in here. You know, like, I don't know. That all looks like the same color to me. Okay, let's let her pick it then. And they, and, you know, and then some of the men, like, the, you know, there's other levels where we've done things like there's a boxing ring in it for them. We've done crazy stuff where, like, one of our clients just loved the idea of Star Trek. So we made a kind of a Star Trek, you know, room for him where he waves his hand in front of the door and the door, you know, slides open.
Oh, my.
On these little glides. And he's like, look at that, Star Trek room. I'm like, yeah, that's your Star Trek room. So they like places where they can put their collectibles. They love, you know, special. We've done garages with turntables on them, garages that have lifts so you can put multiple cars on them.
Oh, my. That sounds,
you know,
like my husband's dream.
Yeah, we do. We've done some really extensive music studios. You know, we did a long time ago, we did Paul Allen from Microsoft. And he had a house that was Liberace's old house, bought a new one.
In Palm Springs?
And then, no, in Los Angeles.
Oh.
And he said he wanted a little place to go play guitar. So, you know, we built like a 12,000 square foot, one of the world's most expensive, you know, music. He was able to go there and play and had a sound booth. So men like seem to like the toys and the gadgets, you know. They like the movie theaters. You know, we do a lot of movie theaters. Most of the wives that we see are women. It's usually they're not so excited about that. Honey, it's $1 million for the package. It's going to be worth it. Honey, do you know how many times we can go to the movie for that? Yeah, but we can. This is great. I can bring my friends over. It's worth it. So men love the movie theaters, you know, the boxing rings, the place to go play. You know, we do a little miniature golf. Not miniature golf, but like a little mini putting area.
Putting area, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we do putting areas. Like, you know, I myself included, I feel like, you know, sometimes we're, men can just still be kids. You know, when we're at our happiest place.
No kidding.
We're just a boy. We're
no
still a boy.
Kidding. Hello.
And we just want to be a boy, and we want our place to play. You know, whatever I like to play, I want a little play space in my house to go. That's what we do. I think that's what feels like more like men like.
Wow. My guest has been designer, home improvement builder, Scott Harris. He's been talking about how he can make a home look beautiful for men and women. Scott, thank you so much for your time. It's been so much fun talking with you and learning a little bit about what you do.
Oh, great. And if anybody wants to find out more, they can go to look up Building Construction Group or buildingcgroup.com and let us know what we can do. We can make one of those places for you.
That was KVCR's Lillian Vasquez in conversation with designer and builder Scott Harris, COO and co-founder of the Building Construction Group. More at buildingcgroup.com. I'm David Fleming. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR, online and on mobile devices at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Many past shows can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Spotify, and Google Play, and most past shows are kvcrnews.org/arts. Also, you can now tell your smart speaker to play KVCR. Let's go ago now to an author who re-examined her first book and then gave us a follow-up. It's all about girls just being themselves. Emmanuel Rogers has more.
Joining us today is author Kate T. Parker. Kate is here to speak with us about her new book, Strong is the New Pretty, a guided journal for girls. Thank you for joining us today, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about the journal for girls, I would like to ask you to help us out a little bit and talk a bit about your first book, Strong is the New Pretty.
Strong is the New Pretty was my first book, and it came out in March of 2017. And it really focused on showing strength and courage and the different faces of it in girls, ages 5 to 20.
Now, why did you feel the need to write this book?
So I'm a mom of two young girls, and a lot of the imagery of women that we would see in the media or on the internet reflected back to us did not feel real. It felt, you know, filtered and photoshopped and sort of just manipulated. And I wanted my girls to understand that who they were, which for my girls meant that they were loud and feisty and funny, and their hair wasn't always brushed, and they weren't always smiling for the camera. I wanted them to know that that was okay, and that that was enough, and that we should celebrate that, that the other stuff that they were seeing was not real. So I wanted to have a place and a message for girls that felt honest and true and authentic.
All right. Now, you put together the first book and you gave a lot of information for the girls to explore their minds, their world, and all these things. So why did you feel the need to put together the second book as a journal for girls?
I love the message of the first book. It really resonated with me and resonated with girls. But I wanted girls to take those ideas behind Strong's New Pretty of finding your voice, using your voice, and figuring out your passions, and actually put them into action. And that's where the journal comes in. It encourages girls to spark their confidence and creativity. We shot new pictures for it. I want girls to use it as a keepsake and a source of motivation to embrace themselves as they truly are.
Now, you are a photographer. Mm-hmm. You took pictures for this book and included them. What did you learn from the girls whose pictures you included?
I learn every time I shoot a girl, I learn something new. I learn what strength looks like to them because it's really unique to each girl. And I feel like photography really gives me an entree into a world that I never would have gotten to see otherwise. I've seen dancers and pilots and musicians, and those are things that I would not have ever gotten to see or experience or capture. So I just feel very, very lucky to get to do what I do and showcase these young women that are really inspirational.
Now, is there anything in particular that you learned that really stuck with you as you started taking those pictures?
I learned that strength doesn't always look like it does in my girls or in myself. Uh-huh. It isn't always loud and feisty. It can be in the face of a musician creating music because it's inside of her. It can be as simple as switching tables in the lunchroom at school because your friends aren't actually being kind. It can be meeting a cancer diagnosis with positivity. And I was so inspired by the girls and young women who are featured between the covers of both of the books. They're faces of a generation of women who don't need someone to tell them that it is what inside that counts because they already know it.
Now, here is a very loaded question for you. What was the old pretty?
I think the old pretty was pretty. You know, I think Strong has always been pretty. But I think in this day and age of Instagram and filters and Snapchatted and sort of like manipulated everything, the pressure that our girls face today is new, and the internet takes it to an entirely new level. So I think that I wanted to provide a place, a message, an imagery that showed girls that who they were at their core was enough.
So with this book, as far as the old pretty goes, because I've noticed something in the time that I started watching TV way back a long time ago, many of the actresses all look about the same. There's almost like a cookie cutter mold going on where they have the same size, they have the same look, the makeup and everything in different series are the same. Is this book going to actually help change that perception in places like Hollywood?
I can't necessarily like say, yes, it's going to change Hollywood. It's going to change the look of all the actresses. But I think anything that we individually can do to combat those messages and to put something realistic out in the world of this is what girls and women actually look like. This is what girls are interested in. This is how they act. Anything that you can do to combat those stereotypes of what women look like and what they act like, I think is really a positive step.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, Kate, will you take a moment and share with our audience where they can find more information about your books and what you do?
Sure. You can find me on the internet at katetparker.com and also on Instagram at katetparker or Strong as the New Pretty.
Okay. Kate, one of your accomplishments is Strong Man. Before I finish this question, will you explain to us what that is?
I'm an Ironman, so I did an Ironman triathlon, which is a 1.2-mile swim, a 112-mile bike, and then you run a marathon. So it's a long day.
Oh, okay.
It's a really long day.
So this is all...
It's something I never thought I could do, so I challenged myself to see if I could try it. It seemed really sort of impossible. At the end, it was just, training and belief in myself that I could do it.
Wow, and you did it.
Yes, I finished it.
Okay, because most of us would be thinking, okay, so I do the swim, half of it today, half of that tomorrow. We'll break the rundown over
a
week.
Yeah, that would be a nicer
way. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I'd be able to put Iron Man on there, but it's certainly Noodle Guy would work out. Okay. Now, how did you come to go into this Iron Man competition? What motivated you?
Actually, my husband had done one before I met him. I had never met anybody who had done one, and I was so impressed by that. And I loved watching it on TV. They always have the Hawaii Ironman on TV every year, and I would cry at the finish every year. And just the fact that I was like, oh, well, he's like a normal person. I was like, if he can do it, I think I can try. And then I just started doing smaller triathlons and built my way up.
Wow. That is inspiring, but I think I'm going to just stay out the way because I'll just trip people. But now, Strong is the New Pretty, this guided journal for girls. It's not just a journal, but a journal with a purpose. What is the purpose of having girls do these activities listed in the journals and then write about them?
So journaling, research shows, can boost your brain function. It can help problem solving. It can relieve stress. So the journal takes the ideas and spirit behind Strong as a New Pretty and puts them into action. It's sort of an unintended benefit, but it gives girls a break from social media and from computers and gives them time to focus on themselves.
Where did these activities come from?
I wrote them. The activities, the prompts, we came up with the idea for the book, and then we were on a trip home from the beach with my family in the car when I came up with the idea, and we probably came up with about 50 prompts in the car that day, just kind of bouncing ideas off each other. And once that got started, I also did focus groups with girls from Girls on the Run and girls from various schools locally, and just were asked the girls what things might interest them, what might they want to try, and what would they be scared to do. I just really got their input on this.
Okay, now, I'm looking at one of the activities. There's power in looking silly and not caring that you do. Why is that important?
Well, I think if you're not worried about what other people are thinking of you, there's a power in that. You can do anything you want to if you're not worried about what other people are going to say or think.
Okay.
You can be silly, and that's a powerful thing if you are not tied down to what people are going to think of you. You can kind of accomplish anything.
Kate, I want to ask you about two important factors in growth for the young as they pertain to girls. What can a young woman learn from being resilient?
Resilience is such a huge part of success because I talked to a lot of girls and met a lot of girls. And I found that the girls that were the most successful were not necessarily the smartest girls or the girls that had the most advantages. They were the girls that had resilience. When they failed, they got right back up and they tried again. They didn't quit. And these girls were gritty and they just kept at it. So I just found that to be such an important part of success and just kind of moving forward. Because I feel like our failures don't define us. It's just sort of what we do in reaction to our failures.
Okay. Now, the second part of that is, why is it important for a girl to be wild? And before you answer that, will you also explain wild in what way?
I think wild in the sense that they are loud and in your face and not afraid to show their emotions or not afraid to show their excitement. I really just think that we need to provide a space for our girls who are wild to be wild and our quiet girls to be quiet. Funny girls should be allowed to be funny. And girls who are all of these things should be allowed to be all of these things without boundaries, giving girls the space, the time and support to find out who they are and what they love is kind of our responsibilities as parents and mentors.
All right. What are a few of your favorite activities in the book for girls to do?
One of my favorite ones is asking a girl to interview the oldest female in her family and ask her questions. Another one is girls figuring out what is your favorite meal and then asking somebody to help you write down the recipe in the journal and then learn how to cook it. Have them work with you to learn how to cook it to help you be a little bit more self-sufficient. Yeah, there's so many things in here that are fun. When was the last time you laughed really hard? What was it about? Write about it here. Remembering like happy times, remembering successes, trying to push themselves a little bit. Do a good deed for someone. Surprise them with a note by telling them how great they are. Write about it here. Little things that challenge girls.
Okay, now I have one final question for you as our time is running short. How do you define creativity and why is it important to inner strength?
I define creativity by basically I want girls to allow what is in your heart and your soul to come out in a form you can show the world. So my form is photography. I feel confident and creative when I'm shooting a project that I believe in. And I think we all have something within us that feels this way. And I just want to be able to provide a space and opportunity for girls to figure out what that is. I mean, it took me like almost 35 years to figure out mine, but it's really worth the wait and it's worth the time to invest in that.
Well, I want to thank you, Kate, for joining us today because this has been, for me, interesting, informative, and fun. And I appreciate your work with this. And I understand you're going to be coming out with another book.
Yeah, so I have a book coming out called The Heart of a Boy, and it takes the message of acceptance of self and celebration of self, and it extends it to our boys. It's kind of really timely. I've been asked by boys for years, where's my book? Are you going to shoot me? So I'm really glad to be able to have this coming out and the boys to have something of their own.
All right. Well, thank you, Kate. For Strong is the New Pretty, a guided journal for girls. This has been fun talking with you. And now we guys, when your next book comes out, we don't have any more excuses. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great day and thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, you too.
That was Emmanuel Rogers in conversation with author Kate T. Parker. In that book for boys she mentioned, Heart of a Boy, Celebrating the Strength and Spirit of Boyhood, this is now out. Once again, more at katetparker.com or on Instagram at katetparker or Strong is the New Pretty. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Kate T. Parker and to Emmanuel Rogers. Thanks also to designer and builder Scott Harris with Building Construction Group. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Benjamin Perper, and Sharina Wad. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. Many past shows can be found through iTunes, Spotify, NPR One, and Google Play, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Also, you can now tell your smart speaker to play KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.